answer you to, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is written, and they search the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. It is written, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. It is written, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. After 6 days he taketh with him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And when he came to the house, he suffered not any man to enter in with him, save Peter, James, John, and the father of the damsel and her mother. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful, even unto death. Buried with Christ, and raised with him too, what is there left for me to do? Simply to cease from struggling and strife. Simply to walk in that newness of life. Risen with Christ, my glorious head, holiness now, the pathway I tread. Beautiful thought, while walking therein, he that is dead is freed from all sin. Now living with Christ, who dieth no more, following Christ, who goeth before, not under law, but now under grace, sin is dethroned, and Christ takes its place.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, The Inner Circle. Three times in the gospel record of 89 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there were three apostles who seemed to be part of the inner circle of the Lord. At least on three occasions, Peter, James, and John were allowed to accompany Jesus on three missions when the remaining nine were excluded. The first one was in the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. Jairus told the Lord, "My little daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." When the Lord raised up the daughter of Jairus from the dead, Peter, James, and John were invited in to the resurrection room with the parents of the child to view the proceedings. We may wonder why the Lord allowed only the three to view this resurrection. We can suppose he allowed only three in the resurrection room because 12 apostles and two parents, along with the Lord, making a total of 15 people, would make a very cramped quarters. However, for whatever reason, he did choose Peter, James, and John as the inner circle. When Jesus went to the top of the mountain and experienced the transfiguration, again, it was Peter, James, and John who were singled out to the exclusion of the other nine. Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus in glory and spake to him concerning his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. It is interesting to note that when people visit the earth from outer space, the one thing they want to talk about is the most important thing that ever happened on this planet, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, it was the same trio of worthies again that viewed the proceedings, Peter, James, and John, as a part of the inner circle. Then the third time was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was Peter, James, and John who went into the garden with the Lord, while the remaining eight waited outside. Why these three only? This was a most sacred occasion. Jesus was amazed and sore troubled in the garden. The word amazed has the meaning of terrified and frightened. Martin Luther said that Jesus feared death at this point more than any person who ever lived. The Christian can face death with assurance because of what Jesus did. The sting of death is sin. But when Jesus faced death, he was carrying the load of every sin ever committed. So once again, it was the same members of that illustrious trio, Peter, James, and John, who were members of the inner circle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what would it be like to experience life as a member of the inner circle? Well, for one thing, the inner circle is always smaller. Only three were allowed in the fellowship of the inner circle, because the fellowship of the inner circle is a very exclusive club. I knew a theology professor one time who told his class, if in your lifetime you find 12 people that you believe are completely dedicated to Christ, you probably won't find any more. Daniel Webster, one of the most prominent senators in the history of the United States of America, in his biography says, as a young man, when he expressed the ambition to become a lawyer, someone advised him against it. They told him, the field is already overcrowded. Webster replied, there is always plenty of room at the top. Ladies and gentlemen, there is always plenty of room in the inner circle. In John chapter 6, at the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus was at the top of his popularity. The multitude wanted to make him king. But when they heard more of his teaching the next day, the multitude and many of his disciples walked with him no more. Jesus asked the 12 if they were leaving also. Simon Peter spoke for the 11 of the apostles and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Most folk think it is important to be big. The bigger the crowd in a church service, the better it is. Today, many think the bigger the denomination, the better it is. The bigger the building, the better it is. But when you join the inner circle, what a shock to find hardly anyone else there. And it should come as no surprise when I tell you the churches that give the most financial help to this broadcast are small congregations in number and membership. In any phase of Christian service, never, 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 never expect to find a large crowd in the fellowship of the inner circle. The number in the inner circle is not only smaller, however, but they are also always closer to Jesus. Peter, James, and John were closer to Jesus in the resurrection room, closer to Jesus when his glory shone through the rags of mortal flesh at the triumphal or at the time when he was transfigured, closer also with Jesus when he sweat great drops of blood in the agony of Gethsemane. Think of it. Those crimson droplets ooze from his pores of his body as he shed his blood for us. Even before a wound was inflicted on him, an angel appeared to strengthen him, to remind him of where he had come from and to whence he would go after the resurrection. The Father was watching. The angels were watching. The devil was watching. But the only human beings that could watch, even though a stone's throw away, were the inhabitants of the inner circle. Maybe that is why most are not in the inner circle. Not everyone wants to get that close to Jesus. The Lord must be held at arm's length. Heard of a young lady one time going to college. She was afraid what her peers might say when they learned she was a Christian. Her mother assured her everything would be all right. When you go to school, you just stand up for your faith, what you believe. When she came home at Thanksgiving holidays, and her mother said, how did you get along when they found out you were a Christian? The young lady said, I got along just fine. Nobody suspected a thing. Most folk I know in the Church of Christ and or Christian Church would rather take a beating than to live in such a way that somebody might call them a religious fanatic. Most Christians want to hide in the anonymity of the mediocre. They might be proud to be called a fanatic over their favorite sports team, but it would be horrible to be known as a Jesus freak. The inner circle is always closer and smaller, and the inner circle is also composed of those who know more than the others. There must be a reason why so many members of the body of Christ have such little familiarity with the contents of the Word of God. Why is it that many can be members of the body of Christ and after a long time, a lifetime, not know any more about the contents of the Word of God than when they started? A deacon one time asked me if the book of Jeremiah was in the Old Testament or the New Testament. The answer is given by Jesus in John 8:31-32, when he said to the Jews that believed on him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The inner circle knows more about the word of God than the others because they continue to abide in the word of God. Now, in this case, Peter, James, and John knew more than the other apostles. Go to the house of Jairus and ask one of the nine outside the resurrection room, what is Jesus doing in that room with the parents? They would say, I don't know. Ask him, why did Peter, James, and John go in the room with Jesus? He would tell you, I don't know. Now, when the members of the inner circle came out of the resurrection room, ask one of them, what did Jesus do? He would say, well, he raised her up from the dead. Why, how did he do it? He took her by the hand and said, Damsel, arise. And she came back to life. What else did he do? He told us to give her something to eat. I wonder if those three thought about that request of Jesus after the day of Pentecost. Give her something to eat. When a person hears the gospel and is led to repent, and then to be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins, and raised to walk in the newness of life, it is always a good idea to give them something to eat. Give them the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. Give them the bread of life to eat in the preaching of the Word in the Bible school lesson. The members of the inner circle no more than all the others. Now go to the foot of Transfiguration Mountain and ask any of the 9 apostles, where is Jesus? They would say, well, he went up on top of the mountain. Where are Peter, James, and John? They went with him. What are they doing up there? Well, I think I heard him say he was going to pray. Why did he have to go to a mountaintop to pray? I don't know. When Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain, ask either one of them, what were you doing up there? They would say, oh, it was a wonderful experience, but I can't tell you what it was. Why can't you tell us? Because Jesus told us not to tell anybody until after he was raised from the dead. What a story the inner circle could have told at that time, if they had been permitted. They had experienced what it would be like to live in eternal glory. Peter said, it is good for us to be here. He was willing to stay on the mountaintop and never go back down again. This gives us some idea what it is like for the righteous dead. They are in such bliss that they have no wish to ever return to this world again. After the resurrection of Jesus, the three did tell what happened on the mountaintop. Peter refers to that event when he said, we were witnesses of his majesty when we were with him in the Holy Mount. The other 9 did not have that experience. That was only for those who are in the inner circle. Now let us go to the Garden of Gethsemane and ask one of the 8 on the outside, where is Jesus? Well, he told us to sit here, and he went into the garden. Why did he go in there? I don't know. He said he was going to pray. Where is Judas? We don't know. Where are Peter, James, and John? Oh, they went in with him. Are they praying too? I don't know. How long will he be in there? I don't know. Go into the garden. Ask any of the 3, what are you doing here? We have been sleeping. Where is the Lord? Oh, he's about a stone's throw away praying. How long has he been praying? Well, he came and woke us up and asked us why we could not watch with him 1 hour. What did he do then? He went away and prayed again. And then he came back again and found us sleeping, and then went away a 3rd time and prayed. His face was red. It looked like he had been sweating blood. Those in the inner circle always know more than the others. Now a few words in conclusion. In the event you might want to enter the inner circle, it might be well to consider the honor that is conferred upon such dedicated people. Their future was bright with glory. That is, if you want to look at it that way. Look what happened to Peter. After the resurrection, the Lord told him, When you were young, you girded yourself and walked whether you would. But the Lord further told him that he, when he became old, would stretch forth his hands, and other would carry him whether he did not want to go. This, John said, was a reference to how he would glorify God in his death. Jesus rewarded his dedicated service by letting him die the death of a martyr. The statement of Jesus sounds like crucifixion. For the rest of Peter's life on earth, he lived in the shadow of the cross on which he would die. Tradition says that when the time came for his crucifixion, he requested to be crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die as the Lord died. Remember, the Lord tells all who will follow him, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." At this point, we have to ask, how many of you listening in now would like to join the inner circle? Before you answer, there is James to consider. He did not have to wait very long for the payoff of dedicated service. Luke tells us in the book of Acts that Herod stretched forth his hand to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. What a glorious reward for dedicated service. You can get your head cut off. James was not an old man at the time of his death. There was much work he could do. The Lord only had 12 apostles. Surely God could not spare one. There was so much to do. Surely he would intervene and save his life. It may be that the Lord let James die what we call an untimely death, to stress the point that God does not need James. God does not need you. God does not need me. But we need the Lord. Most of our people are too sophisticated to cut our heads off. But preachers ought to keep in mind, they might cut your water off or cut you out of their fellowship. Now, do you still want to be included in the inner circle on God's terms? Then consider the Apostle John. Look at the first chapter of Revelation and listen to him say, "I, John, your brother and partaker with you in tribulation and kingdom and patience, which are in Jesus, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." That was John's reward for faithful service. He was shipped off to the loneliness of a desert island, somewhat like solitary confinement. However, John was not completely alone. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do you have a warm, fuzzy glow about being in the inner circle now? Perhaps there are other circles you find more to your liking. Some might prefer a much larger circle. I have heard that expression, "the circle I travel in." Well, what circle do you travel in? Some may travel in the circle of an educational system that would look with disfavor on your view of biblical creation. So you might think it politically correct to keep a low profile on your views of the Word of God. Some may travel in the social circle of business, and your lifestyle may put pressure on booze or entertainment. Remember, most, quote, Christians, unquote, do not want anyone to think they are fanatics over religion. And then some travel in the circle of religious conformity. Any Bible doctrine that does not conform with the beliefs of the majority is certainly taboo. Evidently, the voice of the people is the voice of God. We, the people, decide what is moral or immoral. Our motto is, everybody's doing it. Remember, Jesus was crucified because he did not travel in the circle of religious conformity. And now here is the bottom line of this whole tirade. Whatever the circle you travel in, without Christ in the center of that circle, your circle is a big, fat zero. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer.